the rest of the story. Since early childhood, Nancy Elliott had demonstrated maturity and intelligence beyond her years. But what her family would remember best about her, even as a little girl, was her courage. One day she'd need all the courage she could get. Nancy eventually married a lumber and feed dealer named Samuel. They began having children, and the children in the harsh winters of Milan, Ohio, began dying. First a son, and then another son, and then a daughter, all dead. It was during yet another harsh winter in February of 1847 that Nancy, now middle-aged, awaited the birth of one last child. The village doctor was there when the baby arrived. He tried his best to conceal his concern as he examined the newborn infant. But Nancy, despite her exhaustion, noticed anyway. What was wrong, she wanted to know. The doctor spoke softly. He said, "Your new son has fair hair, beautiful blue eyes like his mother's, but," he said, "his head is abnormally large." And here the doctor's voice trailed away. "I fear he may have brain fever." Even though no malady by that name was entirely understood in the 1840s, the implications even to a layman were clear. The little boy would very likely not survive. And in the event he did, he'd probably grow up, in the euphemism of the day, defective. So Nancy, weak and frightened, did the only thing she knew how. She prayed. She prayed that God would not take this last child from her. She prayed that if he didn't, and her son turned out to be slow or strange, she would care for him anyway and protect him to the limit of her ability. Well, the little boy with a huge head did not die. As a toddler, when he became a boy of 5 or 6, his behavior proved as peculiar as his parents had feared it might. Repeatedly, seemingly irresistibly, he ran off, endangering himself. He fell into a nearby canal, nearly died in a grain elevator, always in trouble, family and friends sympathetically observed. There were other incidents which, if not life-threatening, were even more bizarre, like the afternoon he disappeared for hours, was eventually discovered in a neighbor's shed on a nest that he had made of hay. He was sitting on a dozen or so goose and chicken eggs, trying to hatch them. But then one day, in 1853, he set fire to his father's barn, just to see what it would do, he explained. The building was destroyed. The entire town might have been, if there had been a strong wind. Well, enough was enough. Defective though he may have been, the child's indifference to the consequences of his actions must be cured. So Samuel notified the neighbors. The following morning, in the cobbled village square, he publicly thrashed his bewildered son, an experience that the boy would remember for the rest of his life. As years passed, the defective youngster showed himself to be merely extraordinary. It's the latter condition with which he is most often credited. And yet today you've met the boy born with a huge head whose future seemed bleak at best. The boy caught sitting on a nest of eggs hoping that way he could hatch them. The child who would grow up to give us the phonograph and motion pictures and turn off the darkness all over the world. Thomas Edison. And now you know the rest of the story.